Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are, the last song, and I pray that after the music stops that the focus will be on you, Lord. People will see you for who you are and worship you with their lives. Cam, share your heart with us.
El Shaddai, God, you're almighty. God, you're almighty.
Here we are, the last song, and I pray that after the music stops that the focus will be on you, Lord. People will
yes,
see
sir.
For who you are and worship you with their lives. Cam, share your heart with us.
El Shaddai, God, you're almighty. God, you're almighty. And Father, I worship you. El Shaddai, God, you're almighty.
Yes, hello.
God, you're almighty. And Father, I worship you. I worship you, yes. Father, I worship you. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you're my banner. Lord, you're my banner. And Father, I worship you. Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you're my banner.
You have reached mailbox number 8439268433. Please leave your message after the tone. Within 8 seconds. To send this message now, press pound. To replay your message, press 3. To send this message now, press pound. To replay your message, press 3. To send this message now, press pound. To replay your message, press 3. Please enter a command or this call will be ended. To send this message now, press pound. To replay your message, press 3.
I worship you.
Hey, Hey guys, hey, you did got DJ Black Caesar right here right now. You got Sister Muhammad on the phone line. Sister Muhammad, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you, DJ Caesar?
I'm doing great, doing great. I think we're going to get started right now. So go ahead and get started, and if there's not anybody on the phone line, then I'll get back to them, all right? Just let me know.
Okay, is Brother Jackson and Brother Efron with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
good evening, Jim. How are you?
Fine, thanks
I
a lot.
So I was blessed. Thank you.
Okay, I want to say good evening and welcome to Nation Building Blog Talk Radio Show.
Recording
stopped. I want to say good
your message has reached the maximum. Re-record your message. Press 1. Discard your message. Press 2. Mark your message urgent. Press 3. Replay your message. Press 4. Send your message. Press the pound key or hang up.
Okay, I guess I'm finished with that.
Your message has been sent.
I want to say good evening to my Igbo family, Kadu, and I want to say good evening to my Kenyan family, Hajambula, and, of course, Ola and Hotep, and good evening, and I greet you in our nation's greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Thank you. I first want to thank Brother Efron Cherry, for joining us tonight, as well as Brother Jason, who's come back to rejoin us again. Thank you, gentlemen, for taking time out of your busy schedules to participate in this blog talk radio show tonight. I want to introduce Brother Efron Cherry. He is from Brooklyn, New York. He is a single man, he's a father, he's a community activist, and he's often asked to be a guest speaker on various issues concerning our community. Good evening to you, Brother Efron. Is there anything you want to share with us about
Well, peace, sister. I appreciate you and all the brothers that's participating at this moment. I haven't had a chance to meet everyone, but, again, we all have one common problem, so whatever it is that I can possibly, all praises due, that I can give some sense of intelligence to make the next generation have a better life than what we have led, then I'm willing to participate. So, again, like I said, I'm learning as we go along, and what is the requirements and what is it that needs to be placed on the floor. I just want to participate.
Well, thank you so much. And also, I'm so honored once again to have with us Brother Jason X. Alori, from Mach number 7 in New York City, who is a married father and who's a community activist, and he's a rapper, and he's just an all-around good guy, big brother, and most of all, what I most admire him for is that he is a living organ donor. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Jason.
Wa alaykum salam, Queen Gidget, and Brother Efron, peace to you, my brother. It's good to hear your voice again. And to the Blog Talk Radio family, and to the Nation Builders family, and to those who are listening, greeting you all in peace. Thank you for having me again. It's my honor to be here this evening, Sister Gidgen. And thank you so much for all that you do. Many times I'm sure people don't give you the proper recognition for the hard work that you put into this and other endeavors that you're going through, sis. So we thank you again.
Oh, brother, thank you. It's my pleasure. I want to send a shout-out to my co-admins, Brother Rakeem, Sister Marilyn, Brother Derek, Brother Jamil. I know y'all like that listening. Thank you, family, for your love and support. We're going to get started. As you know, last week we talked about the problems of Black men murdering other black men, and we kind of got into statistics and things of that nature. But we have talked that issue to death. So now it is time for us to bring about some solutions to that issue. And so that's going to be our focus tonight, is bringing some solutions to the issue. But before I do that, I want to say thank you. And definitely not least on my list, thank you, DJ Caesar, for all your hard work. The first thing I want to talk about or ask you, gentlemen, is what can we as parents do in the home? Because the home is the foundation. It's like the root of a plant. It's where you get your nurturing. It's where you get your mental and your spiritual food, so to speak. So what are the changes that we as parents, in your opinion, need to make within our homes to kind of assure our children that there's a different direction to take from the direction that they seem to be going in today? I want to start off with Brother Efron, if you would.
It's a very sensitive question that you put on the floor, and it all goes back to the same thing that you were talking about. None of it ever really dies. All of it remains to be alive, the truth of what's going on. What we need to be able to strengthen the family, we have to be able to look at the sickness of the whole values of we as a people, and we have to redo the life of it by the community. We have to, because family values is so belittled today that we are breeding children like we breed puppies. You date today, you're pregnant today, you're off and on your way, and you can't get along, you don't even want to talk to one another, you're easily in the court system or in the prison system or literally just murdering one another. When it comes down to it, the educated minds, the humanly conscious minds that wants to be able to heal the sickness of us as a people and want an opportunity to give the next generation a better outlook on life, a more human, intelligent outlook on life, it has to be done from a community perspective. We have to do that. We have to come together as a people, and we have to be able to reinstill different values in them to be able to see that their lives are worth it. So when it comes down to family, we can't separate it from one real reality. We have to heal each other. We have to heal the communities. We have to heal the real concept of what it is to be a true educated human being. So that's, you know, that's the bottom line to me. I don't know, you know, people have their different ideals of what they think is right and wrong. However, intelligence makes it very clear to you that truth speaks for itself. So when you got a whole community of people and you have some good families live next door, meanwhile, right across the street, you got all of the disillusioned ideals of what's going on. Before you know it, you got murder on the block, and one of the good members of that family end up with a stray bullet, end up charged with the murder, for whatever reason, that family end up suffering right along with that family that has no sense of morals and no sense of principles. So I say, the school is the community, and the educators of that school system is those of us that has been blessed with an intellectual ability to be able to understand what is needed.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Efron. And Brother Jason, as you know, as a parent in the home, you know, we try to interact positively with our children, and we try to instill discipline and show affection and validate them. What else can we do to kind of redirect our children from what they are exposed to once they leave our doors?
Yes, ma'am. And thank you for that, the kind words, Brother Efron, that you just gave us in terms of what you see, what's going on in the home. And I'd like to take this time out, Sister Gidget, to shout out Brother Rakim, because the first Blog Talk Radio show you had, it dealt with a very simple point, and I would like to drag that from the past into the present, and that was something that many of us may overlook, and that is our food, our physical food. And what am I talking about? Brother Rakim, and you had a conversation about the diet, the cheap diet that we have been fed, and how that diet transforms us. And what I wanted to say was, we have been fed the wrong food physically as well as spiritually. Now, let's take this as a scenario, Sister Gidget. And I just want to say this to those who are listening. It's almost as though we're preaching to the choir. And if you would just take 5 minutes and ask the young people who this really affects, maybe they would like to come around the computer or come around the radio and actually take a little bit of time to share a moment of your time and what you find is important inside of this radio broadcast, this Blog Talk Radio broadcast tonight. Just have them come away from the TV set, away from the headphones, the iPod, listening to their thing, and just have them come for a second next to you. Because this thing that I'm about to say, it's almost as though we have been fed a diet from the cradle to the grave. The diet consists of chemicals. And if we get an opportunity to think about it, here's the scenario. We got fast food from the various places. You know, you can go down from McDonald's, the Burger King, Wendy's, all of them. Now, the fast food is on a tray table in front of the TV set at dinner time, Sister Gidget. Now,
excuse me, yes. Somebody has their radio on. Can you turn that radio down, please? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, is anyone else on the line besides us two?
Yeah, we got a couple people on the line.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Brother Caesar. And once again, shout out to DJ Black Caesar. So I was saying that the fast food and the TV are going inside of our children's head and body at the same time. So the one thing that we could do, and it could be done across the board, Sister Gidget, I know everybody's busy, but if we just take a page from other countries, other places on the earth, and slow that dinner time down just a little bit, where if we could have a slow-cooked meal of real vegetables, real food that is actually going to make the child and the family a little bit more healthy. And how about, even if you don't have a big dining room set and a fancy table, just carve out a place in your apartment or in your home where everyone can see one another as you're eating that good food. Instead of the TV set being the focus, how about the family be the focus of that meal? It could be one meal that day, but everybody gets the opportunity to look in everyone else's eyes, ask everyone pertinent questions of how their day went, and really look at one another as a family with some love in the middle of that table, Sister Gidget. And that's just one thing that we could do in the home to turn a lot of the ugliness from outside, keep it outside that door, and build a base of love in our own home.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Jason, and I so agree with you. I recall being a young mother myself, believe it or not, and I remember cooking and preparing meals every day for my children, and it's the love, you know. It's the love and the time that you invest preparing that meal and knowing that you fix something wholesome for them, and that is good and nutritious for them. And it's very important to have that dinner time. It's the coming together of the minds and of the family, and the family is the focus, and no one is distracted. We have gotten so far away from that, Brother Jason. So thank you for the reminder that are some of the things that we need to continue to do or start doing again. So with that being said, also, Brother Jason, you mentioned about the food. You know, I don't know if people, well, I know that people are aware of chemical warfare.
Yes, ma'am.
And you have to understand that anytime you put anything unnatural in your body, you're going to get an unnatural reaction. I'm a 1960s baby, so coming up, going to school in the 70s and in the early 80s, very rare did you hear of people having to be on Ritalin or having attention deficit disorder or hyperactive, you know, disorder, whatever. We never heard of those things.
Right.
Educational system has not properly trained the so-called professionals to deal with the mind of the child. Now, I remember Minister Farrakhan saying one day, he said, we can train fleas, and we can train every species animal, but we cannot train the human child of the right way to go. And so we have to start investing that time in properly training our children. And it starts with the meals. So thank you for that reminder. I'm going to move on to one other thing that Brother Efron mentioned about the community. You know, I'm going to tell my age a little bit, but back in my day, most of the men in my immediate community were leaders, you know, whether they were pastors or preachers or, you know, whether they were teachers at the YMCA, they were involved in the community. And we parented each other's children. And so we have gotten so far away from that because, you know, we don't know who to trust. We don't want anybody saying anything to our children. So how can we come together as a community and help raise our children? You know, they say it takes a village to raise a child. So how do we get the village together to raise the children? Brother Efron.
I'm happy to hear the brother when he was just speaking strongly on behalf of food. I would love for everybody to take an opportunity to intelligently sit down and understand. The Creator has written the best book that has ever been wrote. That book is you, the body form. He wrote that book in everything in existence. The earth sits in its position, and there's those things that sits outside of it. Each one of them has a major role. I say this to say that I want to be a part of your body. If I have to be just your feet, then so be it. I am an educated mind of a man that has enough sense to understand that my role as your feet has a very important role. I'm saying this to be able to say to each and every one of us that we have to begin with knowing how to even reinstill. We have to put this back in the minds of us to even want to just say, good morning, how are you, how are you doing? We don't even want to speak to one another. We don't want to accept the reality of the truth that there's a very negative force of energy, that evil force of energy that was cast out of heaven. That psychological concept is in full power. It has instilled in the minds of you to not even like the way you look. So in order for us to say we have to be a community, in order for us to say that we have to be a family again, in order for us to say we have to be humanly above everything in creation, so he has placed us above everything in creation, in order for us to be in dominion as we were supposed to be from the beginning time, again, I didn't write these things, but as I intelligently weigh these things, it makes good sense to me. I say that we have to begin with, first, we have to begin with making them see that we are not afraid to meet with one another, speak with one another, to be able to care about whether or not you have something to eat today. Brother, you can't tell me and you can't tell my son that we are a better-minded people, that we are really caring for the sickness of our minds, and my son is with you or my son is with me, and my son can see that daddy can barely even afford a pair of shoes to put on his feet. But the brother that got that brand new car, that brother that got that jewelry, that brother that got this big church up the block, is not even going to stop and shake the brother's hand and say good morning and then turn around and ask that brother, brother, rather than go buy me some more jewelry, I want to go and get you a pair of boots to put on or a pair of sneakers to put on, because I'm not going to let that son's mother tell the rest of the community how less a man you are because of what you do not have. So when it all comes together, we take a real good look at it. We have to understand, again, intelligently, we are a body of a people that has been so poisoned, so strongly poisoned, that we're falling apart. And in order for us to instill back in the family, back in the community, we have to come back together. And I said, just basically, let's begin with saying, good morning. How you doing? I care. I can see the tears in your eyes. I can see your laughter. It's a wonderful thing to be able to know. It is a wonderful, beautiful feeling to just know that you're still breathing. I want to instill these values back in us. I want to know what the reality, the values of trust is. If we can put that back in our community, let me give you a prime example of what I'm saying. When I was a young kid, I was a very young kid, and I used to sleep in my yard. I used to sleep in my front yard and watch television. I used to love wrestling back then. And I used to sit there and watch wrestling in the yard at night. At night, I'd fall asleep. I didn't have no father in my family. I just had my mother and my sisters. But I felt safe laying in that yard in three chairs. I had four chairs because I had the TV on the other chair. And I would just lay there and fall asleep. So it goes up to like 12 or 1 o'clock, and my mother would come and yell at me and tell me, "Wake up, don't have any time for you to come in the house." And I would go in the house and lay down, but I wasn't laying there in fear, and gunshots didn't wake me up. And if by any chance something did take place, if you were to come and snatch me, it was one thing that would wake up the whole community, the whole block. They would be going from door to door. They would be going from park to park. They would go from one end of the community to the next to find out what happened to that child, not today. So we have a job. We have a task. And enough for to be able to say that we really doing what is expected of us humanly, I'm saying that we as a people of the dark persuasion, we have a true war. We have a real, real responsibility, and it begins with the mirror. It begins with the mirror. When you walk out that door, ask yourself, how is it that you walk by them and you see they don't even say good morning, but we're still giving birth. We're still having grandchildren, and they're eating, like your brother said, that food. They're eating it. They're eating it, and they're becoming it, every bit of it. I say that to say it, and I'm going to simplify it for everyone. I didn't know anything about heroin until the community introduced heroin to me. I didn't know anything about crack until they introduced crack to me. I didn't know anything about what it is to consider myself to be a hustler until they instilled that in me. So those of us that believe it's not my responsibility, it's not my problem, that's your problem. If you really believe these things, then realistically, that evil force of energy, whether you want to call them Satan, whether you want to call them the devil, well, I don't care what you want to call it, that's your choice. You want to play psychological games, then enjoy yourself. But the truth speaks for itself. That negative force of energy is working very hard, very powerful, and its goal is to make you enjoy self-destruction. The value of self-destruction is ever so powerful, and we have a school that we have to clean it. We have to redo it. That school is the community, the family, the value.
Okay, Brian. Thank you for bringing that truth, brother. Thank you. Brother Jason.
Yes, ma'am.
As we walk through our community and we see our young men with their sagging pants and their hoodies on and whatever else they may have going on, and we get a preconceived notion that these young men are unapproachable, so we turn a blind eye to their plight, and we have become fearful of our seeds, because we don't know what they're capable of. So how do we reach those young men in our communities that we have now come to fear? How do we approach them?
Yes, ma'am. That's an excellent question. And one of the things that I noticed that you put in that sentence and that statement that you just made was the word fear. And again, I'm just going to go back to us eating the wrong foods. That if you look, if you've ever looked online or if you've ever seen the way that most of the meat is slaughtered, it's slaughtered in a way that is very fearful to the animal that is about to be killed. Now, not only are we ingesting the meat, but we're also ingesting the fear. body is put into a fearful situation, certain hormones are released. Same thing with the animals. That animal releases the type of hormones that cause fear. Now, if you ingest that animal that just had an abundance of fear, was the last thing it knew, packaged, presented to you, you ate it, and now the fear from that animal is part of your being. You are what you eat. Say that to say this. We've been taught to eat the wrong foods, as the lesser say. Now, we've grown into a fearful people. Those are our children. Not only are they our children, they are us, the product of our loins. And it really bothers me to hear so-called community leaders talking about our children as though they were not a product of us. Okay, they may look a little strange from time to time, but as Brother Ephron said, check the mirror sometime. We look a little strange. As you said, Sister Gidget, I'm a product of the 70s also, and I used to wear the bell bottoms and the platform shoes and the pleather coats that are maxi and the Robin Hood hats. All of those things were just a product of the time. I was still me inside of those outside trappings, and our children are still us inside of those outside trappings. It's the soul. You know, I've stood on post at many of events featuring the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And inside or outside on the checkpost or standing and watching, everyone's face looked the same. Regardless of how they were dressed, if they had a suit, bow tie, white garment on, or mini skirt, it didn't matter. When they turned their face to listen to the truth coming from the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, everyone's face looked the same. What I'm saying is, you touch a person's heart, and outside of them, whatever it is that they're wearing that is designed to scare you, that fades away, and you're talking from one heart to another heart. And a lot of times the Lakota people, they say, I greet you with an open heart. That's their best part of their greeting. So we have to open up our heart to our children. You know, it said when that one comes, he turns the heart of the fathers back to the children and a heart to the children back to the father, lest the earth be smitten with a curse. So I'm saying that when we focus not on the outside but on the inside, the fear that has been placed in us artificially starts to dissipate, and an inordinate strength, the type of strength that is needed to reach the heart of another person. I'm out in the field all day, sister, and I'm in what you would consider a stressful situation when I talk to my people. When they open the door to me, they don't know who is going to be on the other side. And the very first thing I do when they open the door is I smile and I say good morning, good afternoon, good evening. And it sets them aback because they're not used to looking at a black face with a smile and an open heart. After that, the stress from them leaves. And I'm a lot of times in buildings with a lot of young men hanging out in front. And what do? When they're in front, I say to them, pardon me, excuse me, I need to go to that door. And they may be taken aback for a second, but it's the respect of humanity that I showed them from the very beginning. Not fear, but respect for their humanity that touches them. And they go, oh, okay, brother. Open up the door. And I'm not always suited and booted. I don't always have a suit and tie on. Most of the time I have on jeans and Tim and boots, whatever. However I come, the inside of me is speaking to them and speaking to their humanity. And I think that if we took it down a notch and stopped saying them, those kids, and start saying us and our children, it would change the language of the conversation, because I do believe, and I hate to be long-winded on this, I do believe that many of us, especially our leadership, have adopted the language of death that was given to them by our mutual and open enemies. So if we stop using that language of death and destruction and associating that language with our children, we may come with a better result the next time we try to approach them.
Okay, so
in your opinion, Brother Jason, how do we develop or enhance existing leadership in our communities? Because as I was saying earlier, there were many men during the time that I grew up and during the time that my children grew up that owned or took ownership of the behavior that took place amongst the children in the community. So
yes,
how do we speak to our peers that now, you know, our peers, and get them involved in the community? Because it's like everybody is turning a blind eye. And I was speaking to Brother Efron earlier, and I said, you know, my purpose, he asked me what was my goal. I said my goal is to reawaken the awareness of the plight of our children, because we are very much aware of what is going on. We are very much aware of the death threat. We are very much aware of the high numbers of incarceration amongst our young black men. But we have turned a blind eye, and we have not taken ownership in our community. So how do we go to our peers and challenge them to participate in turning this situation around? How do we do that?
Yes, ma'am. You know, last week we spoke about how this is actually a health crisis. And it's in our community, the way that we look at it, as though we are in crisis and that we are failing. The actual fact is this situation that we are in is quite beneficial financially and politically to all those outside entities that have no love for us at all. Sister Gidget, it's a very simple thing, and it came to me when I was in the streets from the brothers in the 5%, where it did say, and it was very simple, each one teach one, or each one reach one. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to take a lot of money and all of these social programs and outside, because the outside entities and the social programs oftentimes are looking to make merchandise of our people. It could start simply as a block party. And I know that a lot of times it ends up in gunfire. I know that. But what I'm saying is it can be from the beginning involving those entities that may bring the gunfire in the development of said block party. Something saying with the core of why we're getting together to end these beasts for good. We can do that if I'm on one side and I know brothers that are blood. Brother Efron is on another side. He knows brothers that are Crips. Brother Efron and I have no beef. Bloods and Crips may have beef. And I could get into how it was set up where Bloods' color absolutely had to be red and Crips' color absolutely had to be blue. Because if you put red on one side, blue on the other, and white in the middle, you get the American flag. I could go that route.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, Brother Efron knows me. I know Brother Efron. Neither one of us are blood or Crip. But we can speak for the entities that we know that trust us inside of that set and formulate something that we work on together. And I can use the example of blood Crip, but I could also use the example of First Evangelistic Baptist Church and Second Denominational Episcopal Church. They all have beef, too. And the young people who are in the community know that it's one storefront church next to another storefront church, next to a mosque, next to a Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall, and none of the adults are talking. And they all set it up. And they all got their gear on. And they are all in gangs, but they just look a little bit more fancy. So we have to be the example for them by putting ourselves out to reach out to other communities while our children are looking, and be that example for them of how to squash beef systems.
All right.
May I?
Oh. Yes, Brother Efron, please.
When we have each other in the right state of mind, One, I appreciate the compliments that the brother continuously puts on the floor. That's a lot of respect. I really appreciate you, brother. When you say you're ready, I say I need your help. I say I need your help because you recognize the truth. And you want to know what we're going to do about this particular problem that we're confronted with. I'm asking for help. I'm asking you to help me go from one part of the building to the next part of the building as just simply a guest speaker. The whole social structure which we live in is the university. That is the school. That is the school that the Creator built. Now, what I'm saying at this point, every time you want to say that you're doing what you can while you are breathing to be able to make the next generation properly arm themselves, strengthen themselves, vision themselves, I say you have to keep on doing, like the brother said, you have to keep on feeding them. I tell you, as you hear when we speak about gangs, when we speak about different concepts and different ideals and different titles of religion, we all begin to lose focus on that one powerful source of energy that gave you your religion. It made you a people of the darker persuasion. It made you a people that is tied into the very cultural nature of everything that you have instinctively in you. You can feel it when you dance. You can feel it when you sit back and you cook. You can feel it when you cry. You can feel it when you hug. Oh, my God, you can feel it when you're making love. You know what it is that's naturally instilled in you. But because that identity crisis is so powerful and so strong in effect that it has robbed you of your true identity, that now you need these different sense of values, and that will tell you that in order for you to tell the world how much of a man you are, how much of a woman you are, how powerful you are, you got to tell them that you have gang activity. You got to tell them you have thug activity. You got to tell them you have all of these different things that makes you appear to be something. So I say, in order for you to be woke up, in order for you to be reintroduced, in order for you to be brought back into that you are supposedly brought into, birthed into, in order for these things to be in motion, I say the first stages, part of the plan, is to come together. And we go from one step to the next step, from one inch to the next inch. I don't care where it is. Set the stage, and we, the proper educators, go there. And we never stop talking. We never give up. And we just keep doing it until the next young generation are doing the same. Teaching each other, preaching each other, feeding each other. Give the identity back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for that, Brother Efron. That was passionate.
Thank each and every one of you. That's from the very soul of me.
Okay,
I tell you
Brother
like
DJ.
I tell them. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I say this to everyone. After having the aneurysms that I've had in my life, after being a product of the streets and some of the other unbelievable things that I've been through, hospitalized and all, the only reason why I have a piece of sanity left, I'm not as sane as a great number of other people, but the level of sanity that I do still have right to this day, I only have it because that powerful source of energy that creates life has got its arms and its hands around me. And it left me here so that we can reinstill the true value, the true identity of what it is to be naturally who you are, what you are. That's the beauty of it. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to check with Brother DJ Caesar. Do we have any callers on the line?
Yes, hold on 1 second. Let me check. You do have a question. The question is from caller area code. Okay. Oh, they must took their question off. But you do have some people in the chat room that have been talking. One of the people in the chat room, they said blacks handsomely contribute. They're on dismiss, even demise, I'm sorry, even so with economic terrorism called out like a clockwork. So that was a Sister Panika. That's what she had to say. I guess she was saying that, you know, it's economic terrorism. I mean, it's carried out like clockwork. So basically what she's saying is blacks handsomely contribute to their own demise.
Well, I would say to that sister that it's not necessarily that they contribute to their own demise, but they have fallen victim to the miseducation of themselves. And so when you lead a people astray, then astray is where they will go. And it's not until they obtain the knowledge of themselves and of the God that created them, they will continue to go astray. And so it is up to us as an aware people, as an aware community, to go out and get those that have gone astray. We cannot allow economic, chemical, spiritual warfare, I call it pimping, to destroy our communities, which destroys our nation. And we're going to talk about the plan that this open enemy has had for over 100 years of our people. We're gonna get to that. But thank you, sister, for your comment, and it's well appreciated, and I hope that my response will give you a broader understanding of how all of this has come into play. So is there any callers on the line at all, Brother Caesar? No?
Yeah, you have quite a few calls. You had a question from error code 202. Do you still have a question, 202? That's 202.
I know. That's Washington, D.C., and I know who it is. I'm not going to call his name.
Good, because they're not saying anything now. So I guess you answered their question. I guess somebody must have answered their question while we were going on. But that's cool. But, Nick, yeah, you got quite a few callers, but you don't have any more questions right now.
Okay.
Yes,
so we're going to move on again until someone decides they want to answer a question. So we talked about leadership in the community. So now let's talk about the avenues that we can use to reach our children, and in this society, in this time, you know, it's not like we're very trusting of each other. So, you know, we don't know who's a child molester or who's, you know, a child abuser. Excuse me, is this talking? Oh, I'm sorry. So we need to kind of be able to get some resources where we can reach our children. No one is going to willingly just turn their children over to you. So maybe schools, maybe community centers. What do you think, Brother Jason? How do we get to these young men?
Yes, ma'am. One of the things that I understand is that many of the institutions that we have set up for our betterment have in effect failed us. You know, we, as regular people, and I'm not saying that we are so far above and beyond in trying to bring our children back, but we turn our children over to the school system. And inside of the school system, many of us parents, single parents, or either both parents, have to work. It's not a question of, we want to work so we can buy some Mercedes and floss. They have to work in order to keep a roof over the head of that child. And we turn our children over to a school system that is absolutely designed designed to take any sort of individuality out of that child. They are designed, meaning the school system and all of, a lot of our institutions are designed to show our children discipline, and that's it. They're designed to make them follow anyone who purports to be in any leadership position blindly. It doesn't allow them, meaning our children, any creativity. So they get standardized tests instead of problems, allowing them to solve the problems on their own. They are heavily disciplined. There was a study that came out about 4 months ago that absolutely stated unequivocally that black children were disciplined far more harshly in the school system throughout the nation than their white or Asian or brown, our brown Hispanic brothers and sisters, their counterparts. That black children were invariably disciplined much more harshly, up to and including arrest from school. So what does that say? The school system is designed to turn our children into working drones, devoid of any creativity. So how do we reach out? We reach out by giving them, in whatever institution, whatever opportunity we have, giving them the opportunity to be creative. I've gone to many of our people's homes. I used to do Medicaid, as I explained last week. And the child or children in the home would come into the living room or the kitchen or wherever the area that I was conducting the interview just because it was a stranger in the home. They wanted to be acknowledged, so in most cases they would act out just a little bit and the mother would or father would start to discipline the child. Hey, sit down and be quiet. And I would be, hold on 1 second. And I would address the child just for a second. Hey, what's happening? Would you like to draw me a picture? I'm going to put it up on my refrigerator when I get home. And I'd give them a blank piece of paper from my photocopy machine and a pen and ask them to draw something for me. And that child would be just as quiet being creative as they would have been strictly being disciplined. So you could take that on a level of a child that is young in preschool age, but you could also bring it up to the level of a teenager. Many of our children are geniuses, and they just want to be heard. They need an outlet for the creativity that they've been blessed with, but none of us as quote-unquote adults either want to or have the time to listen to them. So I say we open up our institutions at night and open up our churches and mosques at night when most of the time we're not utilizing them to the fullest capacity anyway, and make community centers where we are. Give them, our children, the opportunity to express themselves and then give them guiding points along the way. I'm not talking about, no, that's not how you sing that. No, sing it like this. Give them the opportunity to be creative because they are the generation coming up underneath us and the world is going to belong to them anyway. So give them simple guidance. Oh, brother, I know that drum set sound nice when you play it like this. I'm going to play it like this. See if you can follow me. All right? No. All right, listen to this. That's great. And give them the opportunity to be creative because that's the God force in them coming out. And then what we do is, as the tree is growing up, we learn how to scientifically prune the branches back to a God system.
Assalamualaikum. Can anyone hear me? I'm a caller. Just want to ask a question.
Yes. Walaikum salam. We can hear you, brother.
Yes,
who
sir.
Are
I'm
you,
calling,
sir?
Barry. I'm calling in from Washington, D.C. My name is Brother Jamil. And I wanted to ask, Walaikum salam, to all of you who have gathered. I'm very honored to have heard and followed this discussion. And what I hear in tonight, particularly in the fervence of Brother Efron's comments and Brother Jason's comments and of your guidance of the discussion, Sister Gidget, is that we have to do something to save our youth, and that we cannot disconnect them from ourselves and our own responsibility by looking in the mirror to begin the process of claiming responsibility for our communities. I'm just trying to put it in a nutshell as I heard it. But one question that I want to give to both of the panelists, to Brother Jason and Brother Efron in particular, what would you all say are the things that are present in our community today that are working well? I know that our community is in a crisis state. I know that our youth are in trouble and they're eating the food that the enemy has placed on the table, bearing direct witness to the supreme wisdom and bearing direct witness to the Bible and the Quran and the prophetic words of God. But what is in our community right now that's already working that we can support, whether you know it from your own city, and I understand you all both focused in New York, sister, if you're in the metropolitan Houston area and Texas, and anywhere else around the country that callers can tell me where is stuff working, because we need to know where to support the things that already work. I hope my question is clear. Does that make sense what I'm asking?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes, why? Am I first?
Yes, sir.
Yes, go ahead.
I don't want to be rude. I do not want to be rude.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
The brother said a statement pertaining to the mirror. I want to begin with that. I want to make sure I heard him correctly. Can you repeat just that part, brother, about the mirror?
Brother, this is improvisation. I could try to repeat it, but here, let me do the best I can. What I mean is I heard one of the panelists speak earlier about the starting of the process in the mirror. That person in the mirror is the first and most important person in the process of us building the systems that will help to save our people. That's what I interpreted it to mean.
Okay, and you said you agree with it or you disagree. That's what I was waiting for. Do you agree with that or do you not agree with that? I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
But I think he said he agreed with that, brother.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, when you put it all together, the number one thing that we have to do is most important. And when you get it from the mind of a man like me, you'll understand, again, that we have to come together. It's just that simple. We have to come together. I have to have a time where you can set the stage and have them come there. I don't care if it's at the school, at the park. I don't care if it's at the prison system. You have to set the stage, and you have to have us there continuously. You see, I want you to pay close attention to one that loves music and one that loves a television show. The more you hear it, the more you become it. So the more we set the stage to have them straight from the womb continuously hearing us, revealing the most important values of life for to make a better life, the more chances we'll have to give them to stand up and make them a better family, a better community. So, again, like I said, set the stage, give an opportunity. Can you come to the sidewalk and you get the street educator? And my job is to be that record, to be that television show that's continuously in these children's ears so that they can see the need to be a much better person than I have ever, ever been, and more than I can even dream. That is the goal.
Okay, but I think he was asking Brother Efron and Brother Jason, were we aware of any programs that are already in existence that have been working in the communities to actually turn this around? And maybe there are areas in our country that other people can join on to help enhance those programs that are already in existence.
I agree with that. I heard him correctly. But whatever it is they are doing is nowhere near enough to help save the life, the minds of a great generation that are quickly mentally dying, physically dying, socially, culturally dying. So I am not questioning those of them that are doing good. I'm proud of them. I'm happy for them. God bless them. Let them keep on doing what they're doing. And I said, again, we go back to the mirror. When you go to that mirror, you ask yourself, how many times today did you hear about another black murder? How many times today did you hear about another failing family? How many times a day did you hear about the cost of living is on the rise and you have no say-so over it? How is it possible that you really believe that we have a people right now actively, politically, socially, morally, spiritually, they're so intelligently, humanly advanced, yet you have no say-so of what the values is going to be in the communities, in the country, in the world that you live in? They turn you into a thief overnight just trying to find the means to be able to say that you can even have a meal. They have taken your values from you. They have taken your ambition from you. God said, I made you the tilde of the garden. I made you so that you can do it yourself. We don't even have that dream anymore. You don't even know how to plant seeds. You even want to say, let me grow some apple trees and some peach trees and some. You don't want to be able to provide for yourself so that you can tell the man, finally, you can tell him, your value of your dollar doesn't mean the same to me anymore. That community, that land belonged to me, so no longer can you overcharge me for rent. For that family of mine don't live in this community just to be able to brag about I own a house. That family live here. That community live here. This culture, my people live here, so that they can tell you that this land is my father's land, and I'd rather die for this land than to leave it to the hands of another man so he can have my mama working, my daddy working, and then I got to turn around and grow up in life and don't even know what family is, so I might as well love a dollar more than I love anything. So my thing is, again, like I said, those of them that are doing, God bless them. I give all praise. For if it was not for those of them that are doing, then there would be no me. I'm eating from those of them that are doing what they're doing. But for those of them that are in need, I say to you, set the stage. Get, I don't care if it's 2 or 30 or 500 or 10,000. Get that young mind 24 hours a day if it's possible. And have them in different places, from the school to the park to the apartment to the basement. Have them there where you have these setups where we can go there and play this music that we're listening to right now. So we can play this record that we're playing right now. So they can dance to this beat.
All right, and you can't argue with that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I would like to answer your question. I live in Queens, New York, and Brother Efron's from Brooklyn, New York. I'm from Queens, New York. And in Queens, New York, there's a group that we have been working with, we meaning the Nation of Islam, that is known as Life Camp. L-I-F-E-C-A-M.
Say it again, Life what?
Camp. Life Camp. It's a 501c3 founded in 2002 in South Jamaica, Queens. And if you're familiar at all with Queens, South Jamaica is the hot spot. South Jamaica is the home of the 40 projects that was really the scene of a lot of death and destruction during the height of the crack era. The mission of Life Camp is to develop teens and young adults into peer leaders. They provide positive alternatives to violence and other forms of antisocial behavior. They also build partnerships between the community and faith-based organizations, public and private sectors. One of the main things that Life Camp has done, Sister Erica Ford is the founder of Life Camp, and she, along with Russell Simmons, Sister Sandy from Salt and Pepper, in 2002 they started to, again, take ownership of the South Jamaica and the Queens area, and they began to hold just basic mentoring sessions, and it has grown into a full 501c3 organization, what they call a not-for-profit or non-profit organization, and they sponsor a thing called Peace Week, which in Peace Week it is exactly what the name entails. Then they go throughout the schools and they teach peer-to-peer counseling and conflict resolution. Sisters very visible in the community. It's not that it's one of those organizations where you just see them on TV or you hear them on the radio. You actually see Life Camp in the community, and that is one group that I would say, as a member of the Nation of Islam, that we, the members of the Queen Squad, we support. And they actually, as would we say, they bring home the profit. They actually put their money where their mouth is. And again, anyone who would like to donate, could donate. You can go online, just put into your search engine Life Camp, and you can donate because the money is well spent. And Sister Erica Ford, I've known her from the time when we were both young soldiers together. She's a very hard worker. And again, the results speak for themselves.
And, you know, Sister Erica Ford is known outside of the metropolitan New York area from her work with us way back in the 1990s coming up with Public Enemy. That's the same sister,
that's
right?
That's the same sister, absolutely right.
And I have to tell you, brother, if you could, I will have to ask you, actually, if, Sister Gidget, if you don't mind, could you just give us the website or the phone number for both Life Camp and for whichever your local mosques and churches are so that we can do that there from New York and all the way around the country. If you could just give some numbers. I know I'm listening with a group of people here, and I have some other folks online listening. So if you could, please give us the information, because we got to be about this nation built, and I really like what I'm hearing.
Thank you so much for your time and your concern, your question, brother, and thank those who are listening with you. Okay, here it goes. Life, LifeCamp. Incorporated, and you can hit them on the web at www.lifecampinc.com. And as you said, brother, Sister Erica travels, and she has connections throughout the United States, and of course, Muhammad's mosque number 7. We work very closely with Sister Erica Ford. And you can always call for information for Muhammad's Mosque number 7 is area code 212-865-1200. And it's located at 106-08 West 127th Street, New York, New York, 10027. And Minister Hafiz Muhammad and Brother Captain Richard Muhammad, they would definitely love anyone's participation from around the country. Anything that we can do to help, we would absolutely love your ideas, and just, I mean, drop us a line just with some love. And that, I'm not talking about financial love all the time. Sometimes just call and say, you brothers are doing a wonderful job, and that makes a brighter day for those of us who are in the trenches that sometimes think that nobody cares and we're out there alone. We're not. Sometimes just a member of the community saying we love you, brothers, when we out soldiering the Final Call newspaper, and they give us the black fist up in the air, and they keep it going in their car, and they say we love you, brothers. Sometimes that is a great, great help doing this hard work that we have in front of us. So thank you for your question, brother. I hope I answered it.
Man, you all were very thorough. You did a great job. Thank you.
All praise to the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Jamil, for calling in. Brother Caesar, do we have any more callers on the line?
Yes, you have a question from, they don't have a phone number. I guess they know who they are. You don't have your number listed, so can you go ahead and speak now?
Are you referring to me? Because I'm not sure if I'm on or not.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to have to remember next time I block my number. Once again, this is Sister Michelle out of San Diego. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Assalamu alaikum, salam, queen.
Yeah, which is Arabic for peace. Thank you, brother, for those who don't know. Yes, I'm calling in because we're talking about looking for a solution. And I was reading something the other day, and it's like it's very short. I wanted to share it with you. It comes from well, of course, it comes from our teachings, but it's something that Minister Ava Muhammad pointed out. And so she says that the desolation of the black community is reflective of the mindset we are in. We are not in elevated. Hello?
You're still there, sister.
Okay. We are not in an elevated place. We are living in the lower reptilian levels of the mind, and it manifests itself in our external environment. Our neighborhoods are not a cause. They are an effect. She says that, just a minute, let me find this other part. She says that we have a complete lack of knowledge of God and self. So we have transgressed every divine law to and beyond its limits. The result, a condition so deplorable, it has brought us to the point of complete desolation. But the good news is that we have tried everything else, and all else has failed. So now Islam can come into our lives. She says, everywhere in America and around the world, the black community is in shambles. How can we ever come up out of this condition? The only way is through the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, what distinguishes the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his divine representative, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, from any other source of guidance? And it says, this body of knowledge goes to the root and origin of the problem of the black man and woman, and they provide the best and only solution to the problem. Not a solution, but the solution. So when Brother Antoine, he mentioned something about the life force, and as I read, you know, different little things on the Internet or in books that are geared towards the solution, they seem to all have one thing in common, that they all, to some extent, born from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. These teachings have been around since, what, like 1920-something, up in there? And everything seems to boil from it. Even in California, the first five, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad came up with the first five. Now, I mean no disrespect to anyone that's out there working and doing whatever they need to do, you know, to stop the killings and everything else that plagues the black community. But what I want to get out there is that a black mark has been put on these teachings, and we must as a people, because we can prove what we say. You know what I'm saying? The Nation of Islam has steady raised up men. Yes, they say the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad raised up the bottles, the prostitutes, and the pimps, but who needed raising up more than they do? And he has raised the majority of them up, and they have stood, they are still standing to this day, unless they have passed on, you know, transition out of life. So that's what I wanted to add. I mean, there's many school of thoughts out here, but the most complete school of thought comes from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who got these teachings from God himself. Because if we leave God out of the equation, we'll never get anything accomplished. So I didn't mean to offend anyone, because, you know, people bring good ideas to the table. I'm just saying that if you want to complete, the brother said, where do we go? We go to the Nation, because the Nation goes to the root, and everything else is a bandage. But the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad speaks to the cure of every problem that we face as the black community. So I appreciate you. No, let me have that time to say that.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you,
sister.
You're so welcome, ma'am.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. I would like to agree with sister and also give out one another group a shout-out to Brother Captain Dennis Muhammad and the peacekeepers. I would be remiss in my duty without mentioning them at this time. I pray,
absolutely,
Brother Jamil, you're still listening, and you can go to the peacekeepers on the web. And as a matter of fact, the reason why I mentioned Life Camp and Sister Erica Ford is because the peacekeepers and Brother Captain Dennis Muhammad and Life Camp are planning something here in Queens very shortly. And if you stay tuned to the Nation Builders website, as soon as we get the information, I will put it on the Nation Builders website so you can have more information regarding the peacekeepers. So, I would definitely be remiss in my duty. And Sister Michelle, adding on to what you said, Brother Captain Dennis Muhammad, again, the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad, Brother Captain Dennis, carries into the community with the peacekeepers. So thank you again.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Jason, and thank you, Sister Michelle. Before we, Brother DJ Caesar, can we get a song on right quick, and we're going to come back and finish this.
Okay. Thank you. Let me get a song real quick. Hold on, guys. Let's see what we got. I think this will be probably presentable right here. Marvin Gaye, what's going on?
Hey, what's up now?
there's too many of you to cry. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die. You know we got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. See, war is not the answer, for only love. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
I love that song, and it really speaks to the subject matter tonight. Okay, brothers Efron and brother Jason, we want to talk about the eradication of a plant. And I just kind of want to put it out there, go down to history a little bit. As you know, most of us know, that the open enemy plans 100 years in advance. So eradication of our people in particular and of our black men in general above the ground, that has been the plan a very long time. And I want to point out some factors that will to that. As you know, it has long been a habit of the open enemy to flood our communities with dope or with drugs, so to speak. And drugs has never been a problem until it reaches the communities of Caucasian persuasion. We also want to talk about how they have arranged this penal system to hold our men. And we're talking about other things, MTV. We're talking about television in general, how nothing is censored anymore. Everything is so sexual. We're talking about how they put liquor stores in our communities. We're talking about how they allow drug houses to exist in our communities. If you know it's a dope house, why no one is trying to correct the situation in our communities? We also want to talk about the sterilization of a nation, because how you sterilize a nation is that you kill the seed. Well, how do you kill the seed? You kill the seed by stopping the reproductive process of black man and black woman by incarcerating the black man, and the woman becomes a lover of herself and the man becomes a lover of himself, and therefore reproduction stops and the seeds stop growing. And it's a sad truth, but we have to prepare our children for these challenges that are going to be thrown at them that will put them in that position. So in order to eradicate this plan, Brother Efron, what can we do?
The first thing that we have to do, again, we go back to the beginning of everything, the education, the enlightening, the reinstilling of the values. The only thing that we have to do, supposedly educated minds, we have to go back to the truth. A lot of us don't like the truth. It hurts, especially those of us that are informed and those of us that have some sense of education. You don't like the truth. And when the truth come in, the truth hurts you so badly that you don't want that sense of identity that you're walking around here pretending that you're proud of. So rather than do that, you won't go back to the truth. You'll go back, you'll live that lie, and you'll let the next generations, the next whole social values of what it is to be human existence, you'll let it just die. When it came down to Heron, Heron came strongly into the life of those of them that was in need of some sense of pain relief, some sense of identity, self-worth, self-value, but it wasn't coincidental. When it turned around to someone standing up and saying that I can take you from being a prostitute, I take you all the way back to when I had you just as a slave, I was selling you the human values again. But we understanding all of these different things and not see the need to be a people that is strongly, strongly at war, offended by the things that were done to you, and rather die than let it happen again. Rather than see that, you run around here, you... It breaks my heart. You minister it, you preach it, and then you turn around and live the opposite of it. When you hear them say that I have to go to work, you've already said I have to go to what it is to be a slave, because you don't know what it is to own, maintain, and control and reinstill your own values in your own community so that you can say that I work Wall Street because I own Wall Street, not because I'm enslaved by Wall Street. These particular people psychologically has a beautiful, powerful, powerful source of energy that they're working with, and they're doing a wonderful job at destroying us. And again, like I said, we have to teach. We have to continuously preach. We have to go at it. We have to get on the battlefield. And that's the only reason why I said, I want to go. I don't care where it is. I want to go from here to your basement. I want to go from here to your school system. I want to go from here to your apartment, to your roof. I want to go there and keep on putting it in the minds of the babies, the minds of the woke, the minds of the supposedly educated mind. I want to put it in their mind, that energy, to stand up and say, that even if you brought a new Heron back in my community, you can't sell it anymore because we have too much respect for ourselves to use it again.
Yes. Okay, Brother Jason.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that, Brother Efron. It's felt from the heart. And
thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
And got my copy of the United States Constitution out. And I turned to the 13th Amendment, where slavery was abolished. It was ratified December 6, 1865. And here it goes. It's very simple. It says, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, comma, except as punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States, comma, or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Why did I read that? Sister Gidget, you explained it about the prison industrial complex that was made for us. From the beginning, we were three-fifths of a man. Then finally, after the Emancipation Proclamation, and emancipate, as we know, comes from the word mancipare. It means to free from one's hand, but not from one's control. So take the 13th Amendment in 1865. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, comma, and that comma is where they killed us at. That comma is where they dragged us back to slavery, except as a punishment for a crime whereof the party shall be duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject in their jurisdiction. So, in order to remake us a slave, they had to convict us of crime. They were in charge of law and legislation, so they, every behavior that was associated with the black man became a criminal act. And we, so-called black legislators, we had a hand in it. There's so much of a sellout involved in the legal system, or I should say the legal apparatus. They tell you what it is. In the name
amen,
of
amen,
the criminal,
amen.
It's the criminal justice system. They say the Chinese food restaurant is a restaurant that is owned and operated by Chinese. So a criminal justice system is a justice system owned and operated by criminals. So all of our life, including what Brother Efron said in the beginning and you, Sister Gidget, said in the beginning, including brothers wearing their pants on the sag, that now a couple of city council people in various jurisdictions, not only here in New York, but I've heard this legislation being proposed in San Antonio, Texas. I heard this legislation being proposed in Georgia, finding a young man with his pants slinging and sagging. Okay, it's inappropriate, but why does it have to be criminalized? Play your music too loud in your ride. You got big speakers in your car. Criminalized. You wear your hair a certain way. Criminalized. Why? So you can become a slave again. You can be put back into the criminal justice system again. And why do they want us locked up? You said it, Sister Gidget. Because they would like to be able to get freely at our women. They would love to be able to inject their seed back into the future. Nothing wrong with that. If that's your plan, that's your plan. And I'm telling you, that's the way that they have done it from the beginning. They have seen that there would be an end of their culture unless they found a proper conduit to carry their seed into the future. And what better conduit than through the womb of the black woman? Put it there. Now he's a half-original man. He's one of us. How am I going to turn down my brother that came out of the womb of a woman, of a black woman? Can't do it. Half-original man. He's one of mine. But they're injecting their mind and their culture into the future through the womb of the woman. Kill a man, keep the woman, make yourself into the future. He's got a limited history, and I hate to put it so blunt, but it's just that fact. This is the plan. Eradicate the black man at any level. And we're talking about people who will do it. You say, well, Brother Jason, that's for back then. It's not going to happen. They have certain things in place. Who, if they decided to roll on us tomorrow with machine guns, who in the world is equipped to stop us? I don't want to go on a tear. But let me just show you something here in New York. 2011 was the International Year of People of African Descent. Now, I live in New York, which is the home of the United Nations, and not one party, not one parade, not one single press release was
released here in New York, acknowledging what some places like Brazil and Bolivia, they were having teachings, they were having large-scale events to celebrate the black heritage throughout the world. Here in New York, the home of the United Nations, nothing. Because the plan is to get rid of the black man and put their seed in the black woman. That's why, brother, you can't get a job today, because it's difficult for you to be the head of a family and you got no money in your pocket. It's difficult for you to be the head of the family when they only offer you criminal activity to feed your family. Eradicate.
Amen, amen, amen.
Come on. Come on. All right.
I'm done. I don't want to be long-winded, but I just want to put some of my spirit in this. And let me say this. Because you don't hear us using baby language, referring to our open enemy does not make him any less of a threat to us. Does not make our open enemy less violent. All you have to do is turn the pages back in history. They came here and decimated the original people that they found here, and then they said, we discovered America. It's ours. Hmm. Wasn't nobody here. But they put the original people to the sword. It's the same people that did it. One other thing. They vilify us on a constant basis. They make it look like, in their newspaper, they make it look like everything that we do is somehow worse than what they do. And they put it in such a way that our own politicians parrot their inordinate subjugation through their words and their press of the spirit of what we're trying to do, and that is raise a family. They kill us with their words first, and then their arms come second.
Yes, sir.
100%, brother.
I want to speak to that for a minute, and I want to make this specifically clear to brothers and sisters who are raising children right now. You can't watch them and feed them at the same time. I can bear witness to that being among three children. However, you have to know with a surety that you cannot depend on institutions of learning nor institutions of higher learning to give them the education that they can only get from home. And in order for you to be able to educate your babies about what's going on out here, you have to be aware. You have to be proactive in the community. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you do not want to teach your children to feel inferior to the enemy, nor do you want them to become violently reactionary to the things that's going on, but you want them to be able to psychologically rise above the occasion and come out successful in this thing. So I don't want anybody to think that, you know, we advocating violence and we're trying to start a revolutionary or anything like that. You know, it's not that kind of thing. Don't get it twisted. However, we have to educate our children at home. I can't drive it home enough, because if you're depending on your institutions of learning to teach your children about themselves, you are highly mistaken. If you think that your child graduates from college with a PhD or a BS or a BA, that they have arrived, you are sadly mistaken, because the institutions of higher learning are also enslaving the minds of the young graduates that are coming out of school today. They're only teaching them how to work within their system, but not without their system. So
amen.
We have to.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. All right, Brother Ephron.
Yes.
Come on, help me out.
Amen, brother. I really appreciate every bit of what you just put. I'm loving it. This makes me happy. This makes me believe that I am living another day for the sole purpose of being able to say, fight on, fight on. When you put it all together intelligently, You are 100% correct, sister. We're not out here trying to tell anyone that I am strongly suggesting that you get your weapons and you find some way to become destructive. That's nothing, no. I said the greatest gift that was ever given to you was given to you by that created you. It gave you life. I would not tell you that you have the power to know how to grow fruits if I told you you had the power to go ahead and create nothing but self-destruction, nothing but murder. That is one of the dumbest things that anyone could put on, and you're worse than an animal, and you do it. However, you have a right to be as that that is documented. Again, like I said, I didn't write the Bible. I didn't write the Quran. I didn't write the Torah. But in the beginning of these particular things, it tells you that there is a heaven. And that heaven is made by that that created you. And if you intelligently say that, yes, just as God said I made you in a like image of myself, I am made in a like image of that that has its heaven, and I want to create my heaven. And in my heaven, Satan, I don't want you there. The devil, I want you out. I want you to understand that at the gate, we, the shepherds, are there securing the babies, we're securing the youths, we're securing the wombs, we are securing the foundations of that beautiful heaven that we have learned to build. I tell you this because I grew up as a little child, young black child. When I went into another community, this is the first time I ever would like to get on a train. Do you know they ran me out of the community? And I don't mean they chased me. I mean they made it very clear to me. Little black boy, get out of this particular area right here in Jamaica, Queens, or we're going to have to do such and such to you. And I'm only about, I was about 8 years old. I just wanted to know how I felt to ride on the J train. They wanted to make it clear to me, this little black child, that when it gets dark, if they catch me in that neighborhood, what they're going to do to me just because I'm born of the darker persuasion? Just because I'm black? Sister, I say our job is to teach them exactly the nature of what that evil source of energy will do to life. And I say it has to be done because when that evil source of energy lives within you, you'll have the highest level of black-on-black murder than ever before. You'll have the highest level of broken family than ever before. You'll have a great number of those of you that would rather sell the crack of your rear end than sell your intellectual creative ability to be able to enhance the beauty of life. You will have them do to you what has been done for the generation of that negative force of energy. What Satan will do, it will continuously do what it does. And I say my job is to build the gate so that it will understand that you are not in here, and nor will the babies have you in here. And if by any chance one of the number one angels, that means those of you that's in political position, those of you that's intellectual position, those of you running around here and find glory in the titles that you bear, if you threaten or this jeopardizes, then I will do as that that created everything in existence as God did. I have to cast you out of heaven. You got to go. The babies need to know how beautiful it feels just to be alive. I didn't ask to be born. And I teach this when I go to places. I tell my own children. I tell my own, you didn't ask to be born. Please do me a favor. Tell daddy in your actions that you didn't ask to be born, but you're going to utilize that that God gave you your intellectual ability to be a much better person, a much better human being than he is. Tell me you're going to be better than me. But if you don't, daddy going to remind you that no, you didn't ask to be born, but you definitely wouldn't eat when daddy was trying to feed you to make you healthy.
Go ahead on, Brother Ephraim. Brother Jason.
Yes, ma'am. I'd just like to challenge a sister Gidget at this point because, again, I always feel on when I build with family that we have here that we're always preaching to the choir. And I know that it is important for us to reaffirm our values amongst ourselves, as Brother Ephraim has said. It's important for us to give each other positive reinforcement from time to time, because sometimes we do believe that it is our feelings and our feelings alone that are involved in wanting to help our people back to their original place of prominence. So I just would like to, at this point, sister, to challenge the audience to be a little bit more proactive in our day-to-day dealings with each other. And, you know, of course, we're in the new modern age with all of this technology. We tweet, we have Facebook pages. And if we could, every once in a while in between putting our, you know, our we get a new car or a new dress and putting a picture of that up, every once in a while, and I see some of my Facebook friends do it, put up images on our page that will remind us of this responsibility. I remember during the Trayvon Martin, as soon as it was hot in the community, Sister Gidget, you encourage your Facebook friends, of which I am one, to take pictures of ourselves wearing hoodies to remind us that there's nothing wrong with it. And all of us that were able to do it, some of us, we didn't do it. But the idea was to find something of that like-minded people, no matter who you are, can get around and then unite in an effort, do something. You know, it was Booker T. Washington that said, cast your buckets where you stand. Do what you can where you can. And I would like to challenge the audience to do just that. I remember during the Oscar Grant, everyone said, I am Oscar Grant. And, you know, Sister Gidget, I was thinking when I was talking about the Trayvon Martin and hoodie, your idea may have made it to the floor of Congress, because there were representatives in the House of Representatives that went on the floor of the House of Representatives with hoodies on. And they were quickly admonished by their Caucasian counterparts and told them they got to get out of chambers like that. But the idea may have come from your simple Facebook posting that we should all wear hoodies. You never know. But we are all connected. And inside of that connection, we affect people inside and outside of our community. I have people that are on my Facebook page that are not from directly from our community, and they often comment when I go to work or different places, they comment on some of the things that are said by my Facebook friends. And of course I defend them. Of course I do, because the idea is very simple. This is my small community, and I have the ability with a posting or a reposting of something of importance that touches me to be able to touch the community. That's what I wanted to say, and I wanted to challenge those of us who are listening to be able to do what you can for as long as you can.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that, Brother Jason. And I want to, if you don't mind, I want to expound on that challenge. I want to say that, you know, there is no such thing. And it doesn't matter what faith you believe in. There is no such thing as a mystery God.
That's right.
God is a man. And if you read in Scripture, it said God made you in his image, which means that you look like him. And his likeness means that you hold the spirit as well as some of the capabilities of him. Everything that has happened in our history to change it for the better happened at the hands of man, by the hands of man. We have to move. We can't wait on some miracle or some mystical being to help us move. There are certain things that we have to do for ourselves in the spirit and in the faith of what we believe in, but we have to move. And if we don't move on this, I promise you, we're going to be wearing black and singing slow at our children's funeral. And right. I'm sorry, I don't believe that way. And you know, I'm not against the church, and I don't want nobody to think that. I've never been involved in a church, but I don't want another Baptist preacher telling me that it's God's will that one of our children passed away. And I want to say this to my Christian brothers and sisters out there because I want you to understand something and want to be very clear that God gave man free will. God does not compel us to believe. He doesn't even compel us to be obedient. It's our free will. So when we kill each other and one of us dies at the hand of another, it is the will of that wicked being that caused the death of another person. We have to change our will. We have to see the quality and the value of life in faces of ourselves and in the face of one another, so that when you do have a conflict with that brother or that sister, the last thing that comes to your mind is inflicting some kind of bodily harm or causing death to another brother or sister, because it's simply inhumane. And I don't care what color you are.
Yes, ma'am.
So those of you that say you represent faith, you represent the church, you represent the synagogue, you represent the mosque, represent God. Represent
the spirit
of God that he puts in you. And stop giving the devil so much power. Stop giving the devil so much power over you. We have to turn this around. And in order to turn this around, Brother Jason and Brother Efron, we're going to have to be proactive in our communities. We can't sit around and wait for somebody else to tell us what to do in our communities to save our children. That is our duty. That is our responsibility as parents. It's our responsibility as human beings to take care of our own. The first law of nature is self-preservation.
Yes,
and I'm not waiting on nobody else to save my children. And I'm sorry for my passion.
No, that's right and exact.
That's right, Harriet. Help me talk to me, Harriet. I hear you.
Okay, all right. Any callers out there, Brother Caesar?
Yeah, but you don't have any questions right now. Everything looks pretty good.
All right, well, I want to know why they're not talking to us. I know somebody besides me got something to say. Nobody? We got about what? About 13
minutes? You got 12 minutes. Well, you got 13 minutes.
All right. Okay. Well, Brother Jason.
Yes, ma'am.
I remember in conversation with you when we were talking about putting this broadcast together that you also had another assignment that you wanted the people to do, and I just kind of want you to reiterate that with the public, if you don't mind, about them seeking other groups of people that are doing what we're trying to do here today within their own communities to join on or to create programs in their own communities to kind of turn this thing around. So can you enlighten us, please, sir?
Yes, ma'am. It's a very simple idea, and it comes, again, from our teaching, the basis of our teaching and program, and that's to reach out in the source of mentoring. Everybody knows something. And that's one of the great things about this work and this word is that we become doers. And so everyone may not have the time to, say, sit in on a Wednesday night or a Friday night, but a Thursday or Saturday afternoon after mosque meeting, after church meeting, whenever you have a little bit of time, don't only bring your children, but bring one of your neighbor's children with you to these things that you go to. Sometimes, you know, your job or your place of employment, your business, they get these little perks. It may not mean much to you. Just being able to take two or three of the neighborhood children along with your family to go to a museum, to go to the zoo. It may sound corny, but
many of the children in the neighborhood, based on their parents' time frame, only went to the zoo in your community with the school. And inside of the school trip to the zoo, they definitely will get a different perspective of what they see in the zoo than the perspective that you might bring. So only thing I'm asking is do a light survey in your area. Do a light survey in and among your friends of what opportunities there are for mentoring young people. And even it would be even greater if you owned the business or you had the manager of a business where you could take a teenager during the summer, give them a couple of dollars out of your salary, and bring them on job if they're allowed to, and let them sit at a desk in a professional setting and get the feel of what it's like, the type of pressures. You know, the general population has the ability to proclaim things, and they will proclaim, just bring your daughter to work day. And many people say, well, why would I bring my daughter? Because they had the idea that they would like to see more professional women. So they said, bring your daughter to work. So it would plant the seed in the young woman's mind that one day, instead of being a homemaker, I would be a professional woman. So now bring your daughter to work day is a ongoing annual thing. Well, bring your black baby to your business day and let them see how you work and how you struggle to maintain. So when they ask you for the Xbox 360, they know what a day's work looks like. They understand what it looks or what it takes to get them that new pair of Air Jordans. They understand because they see you working and toiling. You give them a couple of tasks to do during the day and let them feel important as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Efron?
I appreciate it. And, again, I give all praise to the Creator for giving us the blessed moments to do what we're doing this evening. I tell you, my heart is really moved. You can hear it in when I speak. I'm living this. Malnutrition, the need to feed the minds of the average youth in our culture and our community is desperately in need. I'm trying to get out there. Everyone know me. My name is Efron Cherry, the street educator. When you look up a street educator, you'll see everything that you need to know on behalf of me. If you want to reach me directly, 347-735-7531. You can call me. I'll be more than happy to work with you. It doesn't matter. I'll be more than happy to work with you because I want my children to be able to say that my father has always been a much better man. I just want that to make me the richest man in the world. And for this I fight. For this I ask each and every one of you. I don't care what we have to do. Just get together and get it done. Let's clean up the filth of our communities, of our values, of our intellectual ability to think that we are about it, knowing realistically we're literally dying. Self-respect, human respect, physical existence. Again, like I said, you have me. I'm here. All praises to him. I'm here.
Thank you, Brother Efron. Brother Caesar?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, nobody yet?
No, ma'am.
Okay. I don't know why people are trying to be so shy. Okay, that's fine. All right, so we got, 4 minutes, Brother Caesar?
Yeah, we got 4 minutes. Hold on for a second. I think Sister Marilyn has something to say. Hold on one second. Let me get to see Sister Marilyn's phone. She's having problems with her phone. Sister Marilyn Boyd, are you there?
Assalamu alaikum. Walaikum assalam.
I just wanted to say, you know, first I want to apologize. I was trying so hard to get through, but for some reason I wasn't able to get through. But, you know, I wanted to thank, you know, Nation Building, you know, for, you know, putting together. This is, like, so beautiful. I'm, like, so speechless. I was listening to it throughout the whole show. But I wanted to thank, you know, Sister Gidget, my big sister, and also I wanted to thank, you know, Brother Jason X and Brother Efron. And I'm looking forward for, what, a part three? I am like, I'm like, just don't have no word. You know, we need something more like this. You know, if we can do this every day, you know, let's do it. I mean, you know, because it has enlightened me in so much, just, you know, sitting here, and I can hear, you know, the love that, you know, all three of y'all have together when it comes down, you know, to our youth, to our people, to making things better for us as a whole. And that touched me so much because I love my, you know, my family, you know, my children, which is your children, all of our children. And I feel so good when I can, you know, hear us come together and dialogue so beautiful, you know, to come up with a solution, you know, for, you know, for our problem. So I just wanted to thank you all, and like I said, I am looking for part three, and like I said, we can do this every day. Let's do it.
Okay, Sister Marilyn, I hear you. I hear you.
Appreciate you, sister. I really appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah. That's my chief, so I guess I might have to heed that call. That's my sister, but she is the co-founder of Nation Building, along with Brother Rakim. And she is responsible for all the graphic arts that you see in Nation Building and all those beautiful posts about marriage and love and all that old gooey stuff. That's Sister Marilyn. That is that's our mother hen right there. She mothers the members of Nation Building. We love her to death. That's my little sister. That's my little queen. And thank you, Sister Marilyn, for those kind words. And thank you for being a part of Nation Building as well, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you all. Thank you. I love you all. I love you, Brother Jason and Brother Efron and Sister Gidget and Brother Caesar. Love you.
Thank you. And my heart always with you, always.
All right. All right, Brother Caesar.
Yes, ma'am.
Anything else popping?
Well, we got 2 minutes to go, so you can wrap it up if you want. We got 2 minutes and 19 seconds.
All right. Well, in conclusion, y'all, I want to say that it is our responsibility to pass on a legacy to our children. There's an old African proverb that speaks to that. Don't ask me what it is because I forgot. My father would kill me if he was alive. However, it is our duty. It is our responsibility. We cannot allow our children to grow up in a world that murders them and we leave them unprepared. I am pleading with everybody who's listening, with my friends that know me, how passionate I am about this, please be proactive in your communities. Help save our children. Stop waiting on law enforcement. Stop waiting on the government. They care nothing about us. If that was the case, our conditions would not be as such. But first, we have to care. We have to show the love. And so with that being said, I want to thank Brother Jason. Now, this is where
mushy.
Jason, thank you so much. A little secret that y'all don't know, much as I run my mouth, I was so nervous about doing this show because I wanted the delivery to be perfect. Brother Jason, thank you for taking all my phone calls, interrupting your work, the time I've taken up keeping you from your family. thank you so much. Thank you, Moth number 7, my brothers out of New York, Richard, the Fruit of Islam 7 directors have been my major supporters. I love you all. I hope you all are listening. Brother Forrest, mad love for you. Brother Efron, my new brother and friend who is just so amazing with that voice of his. Thank you, Brother Efron, for passion and for your love and your willingness to participate. I thank all of the members of Nation Building that inspired us to make this step. I cannot thank our engineer, our brother, the baddest DJ in the South, Brother Caesar, who has never turned me down, who has devoted so much time and effort into making this possible. Brother Caesar, I love you, and he don't like me to call him sir, but I love you, sir. Out of all the respect to you, out of all the respect to you, I want you to know that you are so much appreciated. Brother Derek, Brother Rakim, Sister Marilyn, Brother Jamil, my co-admins, thank you all for trusting me enough to do this. I'm about to get emotional, so I'm not going to go there. I want to thank Allah, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. I want to thank him for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I want to thank him for our minister, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I also want to send a shout-out to my minister, student minister, Robert Muhammad of Mosque 45 in Houston, Texas, Mr. Groove, Fi Groove.
Yes.
Love you so much. And Brother Minister Hafiz out of New York, thank you for letting me take the time in your FOI. Anybody else want to give a shout-out before we go?
Just shout-out love, sis. That's my shout-out to love.
Brother Efron?
That's my way of being able to say the same thing. One, the brother know me and him, we are heartbeat away from one another. So we'll get a chance to be able to meet with one another and enhance our ability to be able to teach and make things much better. And then, sister? I don't know how to put the words together, so I'll just simply say, can you hear my soul talking to you?
Yes, sir.
Then you know how much you mean to me.
Aww,
each and every one of you that's out there this evening, you can hear, you understand, and you know. And I say, that was written before I came will be here when I'm gone. If you have nothing to live for, then you have nothing to die for.
All right. Well, join us next week as we bring out DJ Caesar so you can find out who he really is and what he really does. He's more than just a man on the board operating Blog Talk. We're going to celebrate our brother next week, so I hope you join us for that show as well. So, Brother Caesar.
Yes, ma'am.
We out.
Yes, ma'am, we are. Thanks, everybody. I'll see you guys later.
Peace. All right. Brother Caesar. Peace.
Good night, y'all. Assalamu alaikum.